You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily Bloomberg iHeart podcast. I'm Anne Herrera, a senior crypto editor for Bloomberg News, in today for Stacey Marie Ishmael. It's Friday, August 19th. The fear of missing out, also known as FOMO, is a driving force for some casual crypto investors. Usually, one doesn't develop FOMO out of thin air. There's typically someone or something behind it. That FOMO can be enhanced by watching friends and family enter the cryptosphere and succeed. There's some evidence that personal relationships are key in driving new money into crypto. That's great for everyone when the investment is doing well. But what happens when the markets shift and they start losing money? A survey from the UK's financial regulator, published last October, found that personal relationships were a key driver of crypto investments. About three quarters of investors under 40 said competition with friends and family and acquaintances drove them to put money into high-risk products, like digital assets. When the people who advised you to invest in crypto are your friends and family, how are your relationships impacted when things go wrong? Today, I speak with Brian Hourigan.
I still have faith in Adam's guidance, and will continue to do so.
And Adam Garamani.
I'm an OG crypto investor.
Two friends with firsthand experience of what it's like to be in this position. Brian, Adam, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you give us some background? How do you two know each other?
We met kind of fortuitously in college at NYU. We were supposed to be suite mates in our sophomore year dorm. And through a cruel twist of fate, one of our roommates had moved out. And so we switched and became roommates. And we were fast friends. And so we've kind of stuck together ever since. Through our careers, separate careers, of course, but we both lived in New York. Adam left to go to Vancouver for a little while, but we had both ended up on the Upper East Side and loved to travel and hang out and have dinner from time to time.
What are your experiences when it comes to investing? Would you normally take investing advice from one another?
I'm a little bit more conservative with a range of funds and several stocks. Certainly, Adam and I speak about our lives in general over dinner and other opportunities. And so that's, you know, crypto and specifically NFTs are something that we talked about repeatedly. And I had an increasing amount of interest in kind of starting in 2018 and growing ever since.
Yeah. And so for my own investing philosophy, I'm an OG crypto investor. I started in 2013, back when Bitcoin was $300 a coin. And I actually ended up working in the industry, consulting for 20 different crypto startups, and now working on two NFT startups. So I have too much of my portfolio in crypto and NFT assets. So I'm pretty aggressive because I know the industry very well, and I think I can outperform the average person in it.
So Brian, what made you take the leap? How did he convince you? Why did you invest in crypto last year?
Well, again, I feel like, you know, the fundamentals of the infrastructure were there. And, you know, as I had mentioned to you also, I feel like there was a portion of my portfolio that I could gamble with a little bit. And to the extent that I was a neophyte in the space, I had a little bit of an appetite for risk. And The upside was, you know, high returns and quick returns. And the risk was exactly what it ended up being, which was not too much downside. So I think that, you know, all in, if that was the bottom, if that was the floor, then, you know, that was something I was prepared for. And because of that, the upside was there. And I was committed to testing it out.
So can you give us a rundown sort of what happened since the investment?
Cryptocurrencies.
Crypto market.
$2 trillion free fall rattles crypto to the core.
And I think crypto has wiped out a lot of people in the past couple months. You can take the Luna example.
Bitcoin down sharply.
The collapse of 3 Arrows Capital.
The bankruptcy of, you know, Celsius and Voyager.
Okay, so I don't think there's any debate. We are in the middle of a crypto winter.
You know, I had gotten into both Ethereum and Bitcoin, and I made the investment in October, so it fell obviously pretty precipitously. I'm down about 50%, although less than that now. We're on the upswing again. And obviously it came along with a fall of the market in general, and I'm excited to see what happens in the future. I'm letting my investment ride. You know, I know we had spoken about this in terms of like what my goal was now or what my strategy was now. And I don't see any reason to pull out of something that I still think has upside, I still have confidence in. And what would be the reasoning now if I'm down? You know, so I'm going to see what happens. I'm not going to panic.
Adam, you created a hodler. So well done.
Yeah, I mean, if you look historically, since I've been in it for so long and I've seen so many up and down cycles, the people who regret the most are the panic sellers who, after their asset crashes a lot, rush to sell. The people who regret second, just buy once and let it hold. And the next in line are the people who dollar cost average over time. So I'm glad that Brian has kind of the right long-term mentality. In 2018, when the big crypto crash happened, a lot of people thought crypto is done forever. Right. So now that we've seen it recover from that crash, this crash looks a little less scary.
So what did you think when crypto started falling, Adam? Did you start thinking about Brian? Oh, what's he going to say?
My perspective is that if you had told me before the crash that Luna Terra would have ended up being a big scam, that Celsius, one of the biggest crypto banks, would have been a big scam, that 3AC, one of the biggest crypto hedge funds, would have gone under, that the whole global macro economy would turn sour, I'd be like, okay, Bitcoin's going to $5,000 and Ethereum's going to $300 again. But actually today, Ethereum's almost $2,000, Bitcoin's like $24,000. I'm still very bullish. I mean, crypto wouldn't have survived all these events just a few years ago, but the market's kind of matured enough that now catastrophe after catastrophe after catastrophe, and we're still in an okay place. I mean, everyone's kind of lost money who bought at the peak, but I think it's a bullish sign personally, and that's what I've been kind of imprinting on Brian and others too.
I still have faith in Adam's guidance, and we'll continue to do so.
Yeah. Did you not at least make fun of him a little bit, though?
I mean, you know, there was that comment at our recent event, our July 4th event. It was funny. I made the mistake of reading some of the commentary from that article of folks that were like, well, maybe Brian shouldn't be invited to events anymore. And I think, you know, for context here, there was a good-natured ribbing and always has been between Adam and myself. So for context, immediately prior to me making that comment, I think Adam was teasing me about my Revel, you know, we have motor scooters here in New York, Revel skills. And so this was just a good-natured back and forth. But I have all the faith in the world in him in this space. I think he's made some extremely smart, savvy moves. And I would follow him again. If he told me invest again, I 100% would.
A big thanks to you both for joining me today and sharing your story. I'm Anne Herrera, Bloomberg Crypto Senior Editor, in today for Stacey Marie Ishmael. You can find more of my reporting on the Bloomberg Terminal, on Bloomberg.com, and on Twitter at Anne Herrera. On the next Bloomberg Crypto, regulations in crypto seem to go increasingly hand in hand these days. As the SEC and Federal Reserve kick up their efforts to identify regulatory gaps within crypto, new pressures have come from the White House to do more. In February this year, President Joe Biden signed an executive order with broad language calling on agencies to protect consumer rights and the rights of investors. But in the months that followed, have regulatory agencies beckoned to Biden's call to do more? Stacey Marie will be joined by BI senior government analyst Nathan Dean to discuss this. This is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Email your comments, questions, or suggestions to crypto@bloomberg.net. Follow us on Twitter @crypto.
The supervising producer of Bloomberg Crypto is Vicky Vergolina. Our senior producer is Janet Babin. Our producer is Mohammed Farouk. Associate producer is Moses Undum. Desta Wonderad is our engineer. Original music by Leo Sidran. I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael. Have a great weekend.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.